Philippians chapter 1. We'll revisit the passage of Scripture we began looking at this morning. Philippians chapter 1. Wow, what a blessing. He loves me like I was his only child. I've never heard that song, but I believe that truth. I had a preacher friend that said, if you could go to heaven and see God's refrigerator, you'd find my picture on his refrigerator. That's how much God loves me. Philippians chapter 1. How many are glad you're in the house of the Lord tonight? Say amen.
Amen.
Man, I believe it. And I'm glad to see that you brought your Bibles and that you read your Bibles, study your Bibles. And if you have an iPad, as I do, I have three or four copies of God's Word on my iPad. I want to be in God's Word. They say a man is what he reads. And if that's true, then our country's in trouble because people don't read today. They're so hooked on the entertainment of the world, they don't spend time reading. And if I'm telling you, reading does have an effect on your life. When Lori and I first got married, she's a reader. She reads novels. I'm more spiritual. I read the Bible and commentaries, but she reads novels from time to time. And she's reading a novel, One Solitary Life. And, you know, it wasn't long after that, we found out that our firstborn daughter, Christina, was on the way. Didn't seem to connect, but about a year later, she was reading another classic, A Tale of Two Cities. And then she told me that when she visited the doctor that she was expecting our secondborn child. And then another year later, she was reading another classic, The Three Musketeers. And it wasn't long after that she informed me that we were having our third daughter who was on the way. Now, I know I don't look real intelligent, but I was concerned when she brought home the book, The Birth of a Nation. I told her when God said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, it didn't mean just us. Hallelujah. But reading does have an important role in our life. That's why it's imperative that we take the time to work, because it is work, to read God's Word. When we come to the book of Philippians, again, like I said this morning, it's one of those books that just put a smile on your face. This church was extra special to the Apostle Paul. Now, keep in mind, he is a happy man, but he's not sitting on a beach somewhere sipping virgin margaritas. He's in prison when he writes this book. And I don't know about you, but there's some things that just jump out at me. Notice down, he says, let me see if I can find it here. Being confident of this very thing. You know, if there's anything that's lacking in our churches today, it's confidence. Look in verse number 25. He says, and having this confidence, so many Christians today are lacking confidence. Now, I want to tell you, I'm not known to be a flatterer. In fact, if there's a complaint about me that people complain to my face, it is that I'm too direct, that I just am too direct, and I don't mean to be offensive in any way, but that's just part, I guess, of my nature, just being direct. I'm not trying to stir up trouble, and I'm not trying to pick a fight. I just feel like if there's a problem, let's deal with it and move on. I don't want to have to deal with this forever if I don't have to. Let's fix it and move on. If God's Word has the answer, when I say if, there's no doubt in my mind, it does have the answer. Then let's deal with it. And Paul says in verse 25, having this confidence. Way too many Christians today are living their life in fear rather than by faith. They're trusting in their abilities. Folks, I don't have any abilities. I'm not embellishing. I'm not exaggerating. I was never trained to be a preacher. I wasn't trained to be a pastor. I just wanted to be a youth director. That's all I ever wanted to be. And yet, if someone will give their life to Jesus Christ and follow him to the best of his ability, God's going to bless him. When we sing little is much when God is in it, I know that to be true. Amen. Because I had so little to give God, but he's made the most out of it.
Amen.
God has used us, and I boast only in the Lord Jesus Christ what God has used us for His honor and glory, because I can spend hours with you telling you my failures, my weaknesses, what I'm incapable of doing. But the truth of the matter is, God chooses the foolish things of this world to lift Himself up. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. You don't have to feel qualified. Just believe God. Have faith in God. And God's going to bless you for that. He said, in having this confidence. Well, what's he have confidence in? He goes on to say, I have confidence that God is working in me, even though the circumstances aren't good. We tend to think that when things aren't going well, God's mad at us or God has forsaken us. Paul is just the opposite. I'm in jail. I didn't choose to come here. It's not for any wrongdoing per se. It's because of my stand for the gospel of Jesus Christ that I'm in jail. But I have confidence that while I'm in jail, God is still working in my life. You struggling in your marriage? You struggling in your health? You struggling in your personal walk with God? You can have confidence. He that began a good work in you will perform it. God is at work. He was confident that even though he is in jail, he was there for a purpose. He was there for the furtherance of the gospel. Maybe you wouldn't choose where you are today in life. Maybe the situation or the circumstances that you've been thrust into are not a result of your personal choice. Or maybe it is. But either one, I can tell you right here, right now, God has you right where you're at for the furtherance of the gospel. There are people today that need Jesus Christ, that are living right around you, that work right around you, that are caught in the same circumstances as you are, and they need hope. They need the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. In my opinion, the church of the living God wasted 2020. Here we are, Christians, we cow down to the government, we cow down to fear, and please don't misunderstand me. I don't want to die. I take precautions. I don't want to get a virus. But if I was fearful of everything could take my life, I wouldn't drive a car. I surely wouldn't ride with your preacher very often. And if we were really concerned about it, all the people that are killed on the highways, I think the government ought to mandate a 5-mile-an-hour speed limit across the board everywhere, because it's been proven that very few people ever die if they're hit by a vehicle going 5 mile an hour. So if we're really concerned about saving lives, let's take care of it. Hallelujah. Now, folks, I don't want to get a virus, but if I get one and if I die this week and you come by my casket... And by the way, if you do, the mustache isn't going to look this good. You're going to see Pastor Walrus. I'm not letting some mortician mess around with this. This is the Holy Grail right here. Ain't touching this. So it's going to be Pastor Walrus in the casket. But if you come by my casket this week and say, there's Brother Humbert. Oh, no, that's just the shell. The nut has gone on ahead. Hallelujah. I'm going to be with Jesus. The Apostle Paul says, even though I'm in these circumstances that I wouldn't choose, I'm using these circumstances and I have confidence that God allowed it so that I can further the gospel. I have an audience that I would have never had otherwise. Right. And so I'm exposed to people that need to hear about Jesus. He said, I have confidence that if I die, I'll be in the presence of God. Amen. Man, who can scare us with heaven? He said, I'm confident that I'm alive for your benefit. That's where American Christians today really need to reconsider their faith. As the Apostle Paul said to the Corinthian church, examine yourself. Examine yourself. He's not talking to the Moose Club or the Lions Club. He's not speaking at some congressional hearing. He's speaking to the church of the living God. And he's telling church members, examine yourself. to see whether you be of the faith. God wants us to know that we are children of the King. Because when we know that we know, we'll be a whole lot bolder than we are today. God wants me, Bruce Humbert. I don't even know you people, but I'll tell you what I've learned today. I'd like to know you. This is a wonderful church. I mean, you're singing, the way you sing out unto the Lord, it's biblical. I wish every church in America could come here and hear you sing. Good night. You ought to get on a bus and go sing across the nation and show other churches how to sing out to the Lord. That's such a blessing. And then just to hang out with the guys out on the porch out there. And man, we're talking about everything under the sun, but then we're talking theology and doctrine. That's just unusual. And to hear people actually know the scriptures just blessed my heart. I said, hallelujah. I like the Northwest. I thought it was just a suburb of California where all the fruits and nuts are. But you folks actually seem to know God and love God. Hallelujah. Well, I'm getting to my text, and I know I should get there. What time do we normally get out of here? 7, 9? Okay, that's good. I won't keep you too long tonight. Philippians, let's stand. Let's just read verse number 27 again. I like that word only. I don't have time to teach it, but you would do yourself a joyful experience to see why that word only is in there. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And tonight we're going to pick up where we left off this morning and continue our study of this one little verse. And we're going to look in scripture tonight to be reminded what it is to strive together for the faith. The word strive, the root word for strive, means to devote serious energy and effort toward. And God says, I want my people, I want my church. He's writing to the church. I want you to sober up. Yes, we're going to laugh. Yes, and by the way, only a Christian has a right to laugh. The world, they want to laugh because a merry heart worketh like a medicine. They need help. They have Comedy Channel. They have all kinds of things to give them that little moment of laughter. But just think of it. They laugh. They can split hell wide open in the next second. Only a believer has the right to laugh. But we're not about funny stuff. We'll chuckle. But we are serious about our relationship with God. And we want to devote serious energy and effort to the faith of the gospel. Father, I'm going to do the best I can to teach and preach your word. Would you bless this eternal bound audience? And I pray that there would be something tonight that the Holy Spirit would impart in each and every heart here tonight that would help us to change, to be conformed into the image of your dear Son, Jesus Christ. And once again, for that soul that is closest to hell, I pray that they would be saved even tonight. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. We learned that striving together, first of all, is work, and there's no way to get around it. And it ought to encourage you to work for the Lord. Work, work, work. You're going to work for the devil. You're going to work for money. You're going to work for advancement in life. There's nothing wrong with work. But all of a sudden, when we talk about working for God, let's hire somebody to do our work. Oh, no, no, no. You know what the work of the pastor is? He is to teach you how to do the work of the ministry. The happiest churches are people that are involved in ministry. People that come in with a consumer mentality. You bless me. You excite me. You make me feel good about me. you're going to be very discouraged. And you're going to be constantly moving from church to church, religion to religion, because you can never satisfy you. Only Jesus can satisfy you. And the work of the Lord will just increase the pleasure and satisfaction of God in your life. It's work. Secondly, it's war. We are in a spiritual warfare. Our problem is not, some people think their greatest enemy is our politicians. Or the Republicans or Democrats. You guys probably would flip out to know that in my church, I have Republicans and Democrats. You say, how can that be? You got saved and lost in your church. Yeah, I know. That's what every Democrat says of the other side. That's what every Republican says of the other side. Can I remind you today? There's bigger issues today than your political party affiliation. You better have a clear conscience with God. Only what's done for Christ is what lasts. It's war. Some of you think your parents are your biggest enemy. Some of you think it's your enemy, it's your neighbor that's your biggest enemy. Some people actually think it's church members that are, come on. We still have an adversary, and his name is the devil, Lucifer, the wicked one, the thief, the father of all liars. Yeah. He is our enemy. Yep. It is a war. But I also wanted to remind you two more thoughts tonight. It's wonderful. Serving God is wonderful. What does wonderful mean? It just means full of wonder. You can't imagine all the great things God wants to do in your life. I mean, the Bible says he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. There are things in my life I didn't even have on my bucket list. I didn't even know we were supposed to have a bucket list. I just wanted to serve Jesus. I'm not boasting in and of myself. Again, I can tell you a lot of things that would cause you to have great disrespect for me. I'm not boasting on Bruce Humbert. I'm boasting on God that took Bruce Humbert, who really didn't have much, but he wanted to serve God. And that can be said of everyone in this room. I just wanted to be a youth director. My wife, Lori, just wanted to marry a preacher. You put those two together, and we just want to serve God. You've got a pastor, the same. Just wants to serve God. We've got members in our church that are going to be ahead of Lori and me at the judgment seat of Christ. Because it's not if you're a pastor or not, but whether you're faithful in the calling of God on your life. And all we want to do is to be youth directors. I never dreamed I'd be preaching all over the country. I never dreamed I'd be in 20 different countries. That's just beyond me. Why kids don't surrender to go to the ministry blows my mind. I've been to Paris, France 3 times. I've been to 20 different countries. And I'm telling you, it's awesome. I didn't even ask for that stuff. In fact, I've turned down invitations to go around the world. I like America. The Swiss Alps are beautiful, but I like the Rocky Mountains. I like the Cascades. I like American water. I like American toilets. You're going to be shocked when you go to Europe and try hitting one of those toilets. I never dreamed what God would do. The Bible says, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come with rejoicing. Yes. Bringing his sheaves with him. I'm telling you, serving God is wonderful. The best stories you'll ever hear in life are stories from people that serve God. it would bore you to death, and so I won't do that. But I want to share just one. A few years ago, Lori and I had the opportunity to go on Disney Cruise Line. Now, I don't know if you know Disney real well. We stay in Florida in the winter because in Chicago, we only have two seasons, the 4th of July and winter. And so in the wintertime, we want to get out of the cold and we go down to Florida. And there's a ton of northerners down there and a lot of old people down there as well. And we've learned the terminology there. You see, a northerner that goes to Florida in the winter for a couple of weeks is referred to as a snowflake. A northerner that comes to Florida in the winter for a couple of months is often called a snowbird. Then you have frogs. And those are northerners that come to Florida and stay till they croak. Now, Lori and I are somewhere in between the snowbird and croaking. We've enjoyed being down there. And so people in Florida, especially believers, they know Disney. They're not a Christian organization, though they are very family oriented. We got to go on a Disney cruise and we took another preacher with us. He was older than us. We were just surprised they would go with us. And so we went on Disney cruise. And I don't know about you all, but if you've ever been on a cruise, I only go on a cruise for one thing, food. I mean, it's endless food, all the food you can eat. And I know some of you right now are being a little judgmental and critical, thinking, a man given to appetite, you ought to put a knife to his throat. Yeah, well, just turn it on yourself because you don't even understand what the verse is talking about. I am not a glutton. I'm just a good steward. If I'm going to pay one price, I'm going to get as many weeks of groceries for that amount of money as I possibly can. And I always pack two sizes of swimsuits because by the end of the week, the first one's not going to fit the way it should. Hallelujah. So we come prepared. Paul said, I buffet my body. Now, some of you say I buffet, but he said, I buffet my body. So that's what I'm going there for. The boat doesn't have to leave the port for me. I'm in. But we went to Disney Cruise Line and we were pumped. And of course, when you go with another couple, it adds another twist to it and a lot of fun. It's just good fellowship. And it was Saturday when we boarded the ship. And first thing you do is they give you a little menu about that long, so I guess it's not little, both sides of the sheet, of all the activities that are going on the next day so that you can plan and prepare what you want to do the next day. And so we thought, well, tomorrow's Sunday, let's just plan to go to church, not expecting them to have a church service. But sometimes they do, but when they do, it's a non-denominational service. So we looked, and sure enough, there's a chapel service for Sunday. And we thought, oh, well, we'll go. Won't get anything out of it, but we'll go. I mean, a non-denominational church, how can we expect anything like what we're accustomed to? And so, but it's the Lord's Day, even when you're on vacation. And so we thought, well, we'll go to church. And there's two of us, and two or three are gathered together in His name. He'll be in the midst, so maybe we can be a blessing and a testimony and a witness to these others that obviously have some type of interest in God, or they wouldn't be showing up in chapel service rather than at the buffet. So we went to the chapel service, and the guy was from Jamaica that was leading the music. And that's what I called him, Jamaica Mon. I never got his name because I just loved Jamaica Mon. And he led the music. And I'm telling you, there was only 20 of us in the room, but we sang like your church. I mean, we sang it out. We just sang it. And I mean, we were singing, and they were singing some of the modern choruses, praise and worship type music. But I want to tell you, these people were singing it out. And I just couldn't believe how good they were singing. And I thought, well, you know, it's not bad for not being an independent, fundamental, narrow-minded, King James only, red-letter edition, no-fun Baptist church. And so, I mean, we're singing, and Jamaica Mon stopped, and he said, you know, I know the praise choruses are popular today, and they're popular in heaven right now, too. I mean, the cherubim, the angelic beings in heaven, they're singing a praise chorus right now. I mean, there's only four words. And one of them, they repeat three times over and over. They're singing, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. He said, so I understand we're going to be praising God in heaven. And I'm all for that. He said, but if you don't mind, I'd just like to sing some of the old hymns. I love Jamaica Mon. Hymns on Disney Cruise. He said, you know, hymns, they teach doctrine. They testify of what God has done in our life. And he said, the scriptures tell us that we're to admonish one another and teach one another in our songs. So yes, we should praise God, but we're to also be speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs for a reason. We're teaching, we're challenging, we're encouraging one another to walk together in the faith. And so we started singing the old hymns. I couldn't believe it. We're on Disney, and we're singing the old hymns. And those 20 people that were belting it out are now literally taking the boat out of the water. I mean, they're singing out like they've never sung before. This was a great assembly of believers or people in that room. They were singing. And I mean, my heart was just so blessed. We were looking between the four of us like, can you believe this? This is incredible. Does Disney headquarters know what's going on here? I mean, we're enjoying church. And all of a sudden, you know, after a song service goes for a while, you know what's next? The sermon. And so I'm looking around to see who the preacher is. So I'm looking through the room to see if anyone's got a tie on. Not so much. No ties. Okay, so now I'm looking for that pastoral look. A man that might look like a preacher, you know, somewhere between depression and resignation. So I didn't see anybody like that. So I'm thinking, well, who's going to preach? And all of a sudden, Jamaica Mon closes his hymnal and he says, well, we don't have a chaplain on Disney Cruise Lines. But when they were talking about this chapel service, they were talking about who we could get to conduct it. You know, and I'm just the meat cutter down on the third deck. And I seldom get to see light. And I thought, I'd be glad to be the chaplain. He said, so I'm going to be the one bringing the message this morning. I don't have any theological training. I just have a Bible that I've read since I was a kid. And I know the God who wrote the Bible, so I'm going to do my best to preach the book. I love Jamaica Mon. Just his wording was a blessing. He said, now I know we probably all got different versions of the Bible. He said, but I don't want to offend anybody. He said, but I'm just going to be reading out of the King James version of the Bible. I thought I had died and gone to heaven. The King James version of the Bible being preached on Disney by a crew member. I hope that boy has still got a job. And I want to tell you, he got up and he preached. He didn't give us no little devotionette so people could go out and have a cigarette. He preached. He preached Christ crucified, buried, risen, and coming again. And with just 20 in our service, I'm telling you, it was like a revival service. We were refreshed and revived. So much so, we were astonished. And as soon as church was over, you know what I want to do? Let's get to the buffet. But Lori and the other lady and the husband, they were just so amazed. They wanted to stand in line and congratulate the preacher and thank the preacher for such a good message. And I did too, but man, we got to get to the buffet. And I wanted to get out of there, but they insisted. And we waited in line, so I got tired of waiting in line. So I went and found a seat, and I just sat down and waited. I'm tired of standing. And so next thing I know, I hear the Lord, or a voice saying, "Bruce, you heard they're having chapel service tonight for the crew, didn't you? Why don't you volunteer to preach for them?" I looked around to see if there's someone else with the name Bruce on their chest. God said, "No, you know I'm talking to you." "Me? You want me to go talk to Jamaica Mon and volunteer to preach? He doesn't know me." God said, "That's okay. He knows me. You just go tell him you'd be willing to preach tonight." "But God, you made me. When is the last time I've ever stayed up till 11:15 at night? You heard that's what time crew chapel is, didn't you? 11:15? When have I ever stayed up till 11:15? God said, "Just go up and volunteer." I said, "But God, tonight's the Super Bowl." God said, "Come on, you can do better than that." "God, I'm on vacation." God said, "Do you want me to go on vacation?" And I could see an iceberg in the Caribbean appearing. I said, "No, that's okay." I got up and got in line and went up and shook Jamaica Mon's hand. I said, "Hey, great message today. It blessed our hearts." No, that was just awesome. Just wonderful service. "And I know you got chapel tonight for the crew, and I'm a preacher from the south side of Chicago. If you'd like a guest speaker tonight, I'd be more than happy to preach for you." And he looked at me like I would look at you if you'd volunteer to preach for me in my service. It ain't going to happen. And I said, "Sir, I understand. You don't know me. I wouldn't ask me to preach. I don't even know that I want to, because I don't think I can stay up that late. But I'm just trying to clear my conscience with God. God impressed upon my heart to volunteer, and so I'm just volunteering. Here's my stateroom number. Let me know if you want me to come tonight." He turns around. He says, "All right, we have a guest speaker speaking tonight in our crew chapel. And so let's try to drum up a good crowd to have for our guest speaker tonight." Nah, I got to stay up to 11:15. So there I am, 11:15. And I'm thinking, man, if I'm going to preach, I'm going to preach. If Jamaica Mon can preach it, I'm going to preach. And if I got to stay up this late, I'm giving it to them both barrels. I mean to tell you, I preached and I mowed the grass low. Now, that's a Midwest term. If you don't know what that means, it means you better bring some asbestos because it's going to get hot. And so I preached, and I want to tell you, we had 30 in church that night. Now, that number may not impress you, but keep in mind, most Sunday night services decrease from Sunday morning services. And so for this to increase 50% excited them like it excites you when you have a good crowd. It excited them. And during the invitation, are you listening? 10 people trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. That's 30% of the audience. 33% of the audience. One-third trusted Jesus Christ. We couldn't believe this. On Disney? On vacation? It wasn't even on my imagination. I hope someday I get to preach on a cruise line. I hope someday I get to lead someone to Christ. That wasn't even on the list. But if you serve God, you're going to find it's full of wonder. Jamaica Mon, he was so pumped. I mean, he was getting into a Bapticostal fit. I'm telling you, some of you fundamental independent Baptists would have been really nervous around him because he got the joy of the Lord and he wasn't too concerned about what you thought about him. He got happy. And he came up and he said, Brother Humbert, could you come back and preach Thursday night? We have a chapel service Thursday night. And I said, I know I'm making you laugh, but the truth of the matter is I can't stay up this late. I'm not joking. He said, okay. All right, Brother Humbert will be here Thursday night. So let's have a bigger crowd Thursday night. I couldn't believe it. But I want to tell you, that week, all those crew members that were in there, they waited on us hand and foot all week long. I didn't hardly have to move. They'd come up, Pastor Humber, is there anything I can bring it? Well, those Mickey bars are actually doing pretty good. The Mickey bar is just a Dove bar in the shape of Mickey's head. I mean, man, they're awesome. And so there again, I should have brought a third pair of swimsuit because... But it was funny because throughout the ship, we'd have crew members. We don't know these people. They're all international young people. They'd come up and say, Pastor Humber, I got a visitor coming Thursday. Pastor Humber, I got to be praying. I got a friend coming Thursday. It was like normal church people. Thursday night, we had 40 in church. Midweek service, typically, is not twice as large as Sunday morning service. I mean, and they were so pumped. The energy in that room is hard to explain. And he was so excited. I got caught in the spirit. I said, you know what? I'm going back home and I'm going to resign my church and raise support to be a missionary to Disney Cruise Line. Hallelujah. We're going to win the world to Jesus on the water and we're going to see Mickey get saved. Hallelujah. Come on. That's a silly story. I know. But I'm telling you, from a woman about to commit suicide, wanting us to take her children, to preaching to 125 teenagers on the 103rd floor of the Sears Tower in Chicago, to preaching to 4,000 preachers in the Fort Worth Coliseum, driving in Busan, Korea, and almost embarrassed to look at a building with a banner 5 stories long with my picture at the top announcing the special services. I just wanted to be a youth director. I wasn't looking to be promoted. I just wanted to serve God. Are you listening? I'm not being pretentious or falsely humble. I'm being as genuinely real as I possibly can be. You serve God and strive together with others in the faith for the advancement of the gospel. I'm telling you, it's wonderful. You want to make super friendships. You want to have awesome feelings. You want to have unexplainable experiences. Strive together for the faith. It's work. It's war. It's wonderful. Lastly, it's worth it. It's worth it. Come on, we are spoiled in America. We get upset when we lose a job. But none of us have lost a life. None of us have lost our children because of our faith. Have you ever read Fox's Book of Martyrs? We're really spoiled here in America. My dad used to say, if you could prove to me that Christianity was a hoax, I'd still choose to be a Christian. What was he saying? The Christian life is the best way to live life. How can you improve on the Ten Commandments? How can you improve on loving one another? Now, he wasn't implying that Christianity was a hoax. He was just saying for the critics of Christianity, it is still the best way to live. And we focus on the things that we suffer. And come on, folks. The ungodly suffer. God's reign comes on the just and the unjust. The world, they work 50, 60 hours a week and they have to drink, they have to shoot up, they have to hit internet porn to bring some excitement into their life because they have nothing else. Amen. I want to remind you, if God didn't give us anything other than our salvation, it's enough. Why? Because Jesus is enough. When I'm laying on the surgeon's table, I'm just 49 years old having open heart surgery, realizing that my dad died of heart. Nobody in my family gets out of their 60s. That's why I turned the church over. It's not because I'm tired of preaching and tired of the ministry. No, I'm just trying to use some wisdom. No one gets out of their 60s. My dad had his first heart attack at 38, second at 49, died when he was 58. My mom died when she was 67. All heart problems in our family. And there I am laying 49 years old. And I want to tell you, there wasn't 1 second of fear. Not one. But I wasn't thinking about the nice car that I have. Wasn't thinking of the nice home that I have. And all the places around the world that I've been able to go. The wonderful family that God blessed me with. I'll tell you what I was meditating on. Jesus. And I'm here to remind you, He is enough. He's everything. I'm telling you, there's a judgment day coming. And so many of us forget that. We're trying to obtain the things of this world. There's nothing wrong with material blessings, but Jesus reminded us, keep your priorities in order. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these other things, they'll be added to you. But you seek after God first. But does that mean that there's no sorrow? There's no suffering? There's no setbacks? Oh, no. I could spend plenty of time telling you of all the difficulties we've gone through in our life and bring you to tears because I would shed genuine tears repeating those stories. But God never promised it would be easy. Just worth it. Amen. Romans 8:18, you know, for I reckon that the sufferings of this time right here can't be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. Folks, we need to live with eternity in view. Colossians says, set your affections on things above and not on this world. We're just pilgrims passing through. Enjoy the life that God gives you, the blessings God gives you. But the blessing should never supersede the blesser. Yes. And when God's blessings supersede the blesser, He'll let those blessings ferment. Remember the manna in the wilderness? They liked it so much, they started hoarding it up. And what happened? It soured. It went rotten the next day. God said, hey, I want you to keep me in your focus. Some of you love your families more than you love God. I want to tell you, a family is a blessing from God. But if you're not careful, your family can bring you as much sorrow as any enemy you ever had. Your health is a blessing. My dad used to say so often, the richest man in all the world is the man who has his health and he doesn't even know it. And you can love your health and exercise and eat right and get your fresh air and live to have good health so that you can have a long life. But I'll tell you what, Without God, it's nothing. You talk to every old timer in this room, and I don't care if they're 60, 70, 80, 90, or even hit the 100 mark, every one of us are going to say, whew, that went by fast. James wasn't exaggerating when he said, life is a vapor. It appears for a moment, it's gone. Only one life, so soon it will pass. Only what's done for Christ will last. Are you listening? You can't waste 5 minutes on Jesus Christ. You can't waste 5 cents on Jesus Christ. Think of the thief. The only one that complained about the finances in the church was a thief and a church officer, respected from the other members. You remember when that woman broke the alabaster box and poured out that valuable ointment on Jesus? Why was this wasted? You can't waste anything on Jesus. But you can waste it on the entertainment of this world. You can waste it on food. You can waste it on even vacations. You can waste a lot, and Americans are notorious for it. But you can't waste anything on Jesus. Everything that you devote to God, He will reward you for. Hebrews 6:10 has become very precious to me in later years. God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. Some of you have messed up along life's way, and you feel like you can't do anything for God. I have failed, and I'll be a faithful church member, but I really can't do a whole lot. If you confess and forsake your sin, the Bible says you'll find mercy. The good book says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And though your friends that you offended or your family may offend you, and by the way, you might offend me and it might take me longer to forgive you than God. But you're not serving me, you're serving God. You can get your heart right with God and serve Him right then. Get back on the front lines. Don't you believe the devil's lie that you can't ever be used of God. God is capable of cleaning up the vilest of sinners and doing something great. And if you offer even a cup of water in His name, He's not unrighteous to forget your work. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, 2 Corinthians 5 says. And we're all going to give an account for our life. Our choir used to sing, congregation used to sing, and love the words of the song. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrow will erase. So, bravely run the race till we see Christ. Therefore, almost sounds like so. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. You know what abound means? Do more. Abounding in the work of the Lord. Why? For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It will be worth it all. And I want to remind this good church, man, it's been such a joy to be with you people, that God wants you to intentionally, of your own volition, to strive together. Invest energy and great effort into the faith of the gospel. And if you will, you're going to find it's good work. It's a good war because we're on the winning team. And it's wonderful. It'll blow your mind, the experiences you'll get to enjoy. But it will be worth it. I pray that will encourage your heart to get into the work and the battle. Friend day, you ought to pray for that morning, noon, and night. There shouldn't be a card left in the church. Take them out. Hand them out. You say, well, most of them are going to go in the garbage. That's okay. God will reward you for your labor of love. And people that you didn't invite, God will bring into the house, honoring your effort and your labor and your work of love. Amen. Let's strive together for the faith. Let's stand to our feet. Father, thank you again for the joy of being in your house today. And to be with these dear saints, I pray that you would bless the saints of Bellingham Baptist Church. I pray that there is just a spark of revival today in the hearts of the believers here. That we would align ourselves with your will in your word. And help us to get involved in the work and to prepare for the battle, knowing we are more than conquerors. And I pray that this good people would see your wonders and declare to another generation, it is worth saving Jesus, serving him. And for that soul that needs to be saved, I pray to be saved tonight. Certainly before it's eternally too late. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.